Good morning. It is great to be here with you guys. This church, this congregation, Mike, the leadership, the staff has a very, very special place in my heart. Throughout the years, you guys have come alongside, and there has been so many relationships out of this church with our community, with Journey Church up in Waukegan, and with me as well. So it is a joy and a privilege to be here with you. And today we start Advent. And today we begin Advent with hope. You know, it's interesting how gifts have become one of the most important things about this season. Whether that's good or bad, you know, I think probably both of those. But somehow, some way, we can disconnect gifts with the reality of this season. You know, when I was in college, before I got married, I took a second part-time job just so that I could buy amazing gifts that year for this season. That was the first and the last time I ever did that. But in the midst of all this gift stuff that goes around during this season, I want to tell you that actually God has a gift for us. A gift that he's given us that many times we don't even see it or realize or see the importance of it. And that is the gift of hope. And it is a beautiful gift. See, Advent's about looking forward. Advent actually means, right, arrival. It means that with great expectation, the people were waiting for the Messiah. Now we get to prepare ourselves in great expectation of what this season means. Now, I don't know about you or where you may be in life or how life is going for you. But I'll be honest, in the last 3 years, especially in the last year, there's been some news that have come my way. I'm a pastor up in Waukegan, and there's been a lot of changes in Waukegan over the last few years that have been extremely difficult to deal with. In fact, over the last 3 months, there's barely been a weekend that I haven't done a wedding or a funeral. And I've done more funerals than weddings. And they were all for young people. For violent deaths or people taking their lives. There's a lot of hopelessness in our world. So I don't know about you, but as I was thinking about hope, as I was thinking about what this season, this past 3 years have been, I felt like this is my life, and in some ways my heart has been just ripped. And in some ways, a lot of life has just crumbled. And in even some ways, I felt like while I was down, I was also kicked. But I feel like a lot of people have experienced something similar to that in the last year, maybe in the last 3 years. And as I begin to talk about hope, you may be like, but see, Pastor, it's nice for you to talk about hope, but you don't understand. My marriage or what is left of it, there's no hope. Or see, I have an addiction that I just can't kick. And you're saying hope? No, there is no hope. Or if you only knew the reality of my life, the mess that my life is in, the way that my finances or the way that my internal spiritual life is, there is no hope for me. Well, you know what? You may be right. And looking at some aspects of our lives, humanly speaking, there might be no hope. But you see, that's why it's a gift. A gift is something that we don't deserve. A gift has no attachments. And God is saying to us, in the midst of all the craziness that we're living, I have a beautiful gift for you, the gift of hope. So Advent, right, what we're celebrating here is about God leaving his heavenly realms and coming down to earth in the form of a humble and poor human being to give us hope. To let us know that he is not a distant God, but a God who wants to interact with us. So as I look around, yes, there's a lot of reason for hopelessness. But there's a lot of hope. There's a lot of hope. You know, back in the Vietnam War, there's a major that was taken into, he was taken as a prisoner. And there was a 24-year-old Marine who was also taken in as a prisoner, and this major made it, and he later being interviewed much later, and he's talking about a 24-year-old Marine guy who decided that he was actually going to help incorporate if they would let him go. So he made a deal. He said, okay, I will give you all the information. I will be a model prisoner if you let me go. And they're like, great deal. You do your part and we'll let you go. Well, he did his part and he shared everything and he was like a model prisoner. But before long, he found out that they were never going to let him go. They were lying. And this is what the major said. He said, talking about the 24-year-old Marine, he said, he became like a zombie. He refused to do any work and he rejected all offers of food and encouragement. He simply laid in his cot, sucking his thumb, a 24-year-old Marine, sucking his thumb. In a matter of weeks, he was dead. See, I will guess if there was a one-word cause of death for that Marine, it would be hopelessness. In fact, doctors in World War II, Korea, and Vietnam Wars use a term for many people that died while they were prisoners, and that is give up itis. They gave up. They had no hope. See, the human spirit needs hope to thrive. And the writers of the Bible recognize this. More than 2,500 years ago, King Solomon wrote in Proverbs 13:12, he said this. He said, hope deferred. In other words, hope delayed. When hope is delayed, when hope is deferred, says, makes the heart sick. I forgot to tell you about this, but in my church, people participate. See, because I have worked all week, and then therefore, when you get here and you get to just sit, you participate. And I'll tell you when you participate, and you will know, because I will be quiet, and then you read that part. Be like, but I don't want to do that. Mike doesn't do that. Well, we do that at Journey, and I'm bringing that tradition. So let's take a look at this verse again. It says, hope deferred makes the heart what? Sick. Sick. But it says, but a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. See, it's not surprising that if God created human beings with this craving for hope, that it would make sense that he would be the ultimate source of that hope. In fact, Romans 15:13, Paul describes God as the God of hope. Take a look at this. This is how God is described. It says, I pray that God, the source of what? The source of what? Oh, it's not up there. Okay, sorry. Romans 15:13, it says, I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely. That he is the source of hope. That hope derives from him. That hope is birthed from him. The source of hope is God. See, there's actually 180 references to hope in the Bible. And the point that I want to make today is that the God of the Bible is the source of hope. Yes, as we look around, there's a lot to be hopeless about if we don't have the ability to see the promises of God and that he's still on the throne and that he is still God and that he is still reigning, that he still has a purpose, and that yes, that he can take those things that were meant for evil and turn them into good. That is our God. But as we talk about hope, sometimes we use the word so different than what the Bible actually has to say about hope. So I want us to take a look at some poor substitutes, because sometimes when we use the word hope, we're not really meaning what the Bible means by hope. So let me just give you some poor substitutes for hope. And you know, sometimes when we're talking about hope, we're actually not really talking about biblical hope, but we're just saying wishful thinking. We are, right? Like we pick up our phones or we ask Alexa, right? What is the weather? And we are so wishing that the temperature would not be below 30, at least me, every single day during the winter. Right? That's just wishful thinking. Or we turn on the TV and we're like, man, I hope the Bears win, right? Wishful thinking. Wishful thinking is a kind of a hopeful feeling that somehow, some way, things will go our way, but we actually have absolutely no power over the situation. It's just wishful thinking. See, wishful thinking doesn't change reality, but sometimes it just makes us feel better. That's not the hope that the Bible's talking about. There's also another kind of hopeful attitude, and that is blind optimism, right? And I think that it's great to be an optimistic person. I really do, and I try to be an optimistic person. But some optimists see everything through rose-colored eyes, right? They overlook their problems, and they act like it don't exist, right? They turn away their eyes from the ugliness of the world. And to them, everything is fine all the time. Sort of like the sign that was put on the bulletin board of the grocery store. It said, lost, dog with three legs, blind in left eye, missing right ear, tail cut off, recently castrated, answers to the name Lucky. Listen, you can call that dog Lucky all you want. That is not a lucky dog. Sometimes people in their blind optimism will pretend that things are great when they're not. See, so hope and biblical hope is not about minimizing reality, not about minimizing the pain and the hurt and the changes that are happening that sometimes we can't grasp and the difficulties. It's not minimizing that. It's just saying that God is bigger than all those circumstances and that his promises are real and that they're bigger, that he's still on his throne, that he's still sovereign, and that he still turns all things for good for those that love him. Then there's this last one, and it's determined dreams. And you know, that's kind of a hope, and we tend to do that towards the end of next month, right? Right before New Year's come, we make these resolutions, and we make this lofty dreams that we want to accomplish. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's wonderful to have goals and to work towards them. The problem is that oftentimes we think that our hope is in these goals. And there's so many limitations on ourselves. And there's so many things that are outside our control. That is not biblical hope. So let me contrast wishful thinking, blind optimism, and determined dreams with actually biblical hope. See, for most people, hope is something that they do. That they got to work for. Maybe their hope is in their bank account. But the Bible talks about hope as something that we can actually have, something that we can possess, something that we can hold, something that we can grab a hold onto. So for someone who is a follower of Jesus Christ, someone that surrendered their life to him, this is what hope is. Hope is the confident expectation that God is willing and able to fulfill his promises to us. And here's the thing. There are so many amazing, beautiful promises in God's word. But the problem that I'm afraid of is that God's people, his body, his bride, are more consumed with the realities of this world than the promises that are in his word. That what takes us by surprise doesn't take him by surprise. That what has happened over the last 3 years in our world, in our country, in our community, the division and all these difficult things that have unfolded, they did not take him by surprise. And that his promises are still true to us today. In fact, 1 Peter 1, 3 and 4 says this. It says, in God's great mercy. In other words, this is a gift, right? It's not something that we deserve. In his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope. In other words, in Christ, we are now given a new life of hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And look at this amazing promise. And into an inheritance that will what? Never, ever perish, spoil, or fade. That's hope kept in heaven for you, for me. In fact, Hebrews 6:9 says this. It says, this what? Actually, it's not up there yet. Let me wait. Okay. It says, this what? Hope. This hope is strong and trustworthy anchor for what? Our souls. See, our hope is only as good as what it is attached to, as what it is anchored to. Hope in itself has no power, right? Right? You can wish for something. You can hope for something. You might feel a little better about it. We might fool ourselves into thinking everything's okay. But the only way hope has any real power is if it is anchored in the God who has real power. So in the meantime that we have here, I want to highlight two things of why followers of Christ have hope. Why do you and I have hope? Well, the first one is we have hope because we have been forgiven of our past. That's so amazing. That our past, that the dumb things that we've done, the mistakes, the sin, all the things that could carry on, we are forgiven by that. In fact, there's a book in the Bible, you probably know this, it's called Lamentations. And the prophet Jeremiah, he's lamenting. In fact, there's so much hurt, there's so much grief that God actually allows the Bible to have one book in which someone is just lamenting and venting and saying, this is so hard, this is so difficult. But even in that, the prophet Jeremiah says this, Lamentations 3, 21 through 23, it says, this I call to mind. In other words, this I need to remind myself. With all the craziness that is going on, with all the hopelessness that seems to be around me, I need to remind myself of this. It says, this I call to mind, and therefore I have what? Hope. Like, I need to remind myself that there is hope, because sometimes things are falling apart, right? My heart is broken. Realities are just so difficult, right? In times like this, it says, this I have to call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we're not consumed for his compassions. Other translations actually say mercy. So in other words, for his compassion and his mercy never fail. In fact, it says they are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. So in the midst of not minimizing the hurt, in the midst of lamenting and grieving, right? In the midst of all that, we call to mind that there's hope. And that every single day that the sun comes out again, that mercy and that compassion is renewed for us. You know, not long ago, actually about a month ago, I just did a funeral for a gentleman that was shot over 100 times into his vehicle. Wrong place, wrong time. Probably shouldn't have been there, though. They thought he was the wrong person. 100 times, over 100 cases towards. What do you do? Like, what do you say? The family's destroyed. See, this I call to mind, therefore I have hope. Sometimes things are so difficult, they seem hopeless. Sometimes I look at my community. That just happened a little bit ago. Just this weekend, I was helping somebody move into the self-storage. I had just gotten my haircut a few hours at the place where I get my haircut. The storage is right in front. And while we're storing stuff away, all of a sudden, we hear gunshots. Bah, 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 bah. So I was 10 years in the military. I knew those were gunshots. Those weren't anything else. And we just froze. We walked outside, and right in front of my barber shop, on the parking lot, 3 people had been shot. My kids were there. What in the world is going on? As soon as we got home, my daughter locked all the doors and put the alarm on. She's like, we don't use this alarm enough. In the midst of all the craziness, and yes, I could move to a different community. But that dark community needs to know that there's a God of hope. But it's not just community. I think every one of our souls needs to understand that there's hope in the midst of some very, very, very difficult times that we may be going through. See, the writer here in Lamentations, the prophet Jeremiah, the writer saying, even though you may fail God, which we all do, even though you may fail your kid in some way, your children in some way, which we all do, even though you may fail your spouse in some way, which we all do, God's compassion and mercy is renewable every single day for us. It's available to us. You know, at the lowest point in my life, about 10 years ago, there was this sense of God, not a voice or anything, but just this sense of God. You know, I felt like I was at the worst of the worst. I just felt God saying, I got you. There's hope. You're forgiven. I have a plan for you, and it's not to harm you, but it's to bless you. I think all of us at some time, we need to hear that from God. And at times, like the prophet Jeremiah, we just need to remind and call ourselves right to mind that there is hope. Your past does not take away the hope that you have before you. And I hope you listen to that. No matter how bad your past may have been. And some of you are like, you just don't understand, Pastor. No matter what. Take a look at 1 John. This is the message, so this is a paraphrase. Eugene Peterson does an awesome job describing 1 Peter 1, 8 and 10 here. He says, if we claim that we're free of sin, we're only fooling ourselves. A claim like that is arrant nonsense. On the other hand, it says, if we admit our sins, make a clean breast of them, he won't let us down. He will be true to himself. See, it's not about how good we are. It's about how good he is and about how he stays true to himself. He will forgive our sins and purge us of all the wrongdoing. So here's the thing. The problem is not that if we feel like we had a horrible past. The problem is if we already feel like we're good. That's the problem. Because then we don't need God and we don't need his mercy. And when we do that, we're only at the mercy of circumstances. We're not at the mercy of our true God that renews our hope every single day. This is what 1 Timothy 6:17 says. It says, command those who are rich in this present world. By the way, who is he talking about, the rich? That's us. Right? I mean, if we live in this country, we're rich. In fact, if you have a car compared to the rest of the world, you are filthy rich. I don't know if you guys ever been on a missions trip anywhere. When we get there, everybody's like, oh, they. If you come from the States to any other part of the world, right? Well, maybe not to Europe, but most of all, most places in the world, they think that we are rich. Because our standard of living is rich compared to theirs. But you're thinking, see, I really know this rich person. Well, yeah, you probably do. But compared to the rest of the world, all of us are rich in this present world. So this verse is talking to us. It says, command those who are rich in this present world, which is all of us, not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in what? Wealth. Which is so easy to do. No. Because it says wealth, which is so uncertain. But put your what? Hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. So in this Advent season, we can say, God, I accept your gift of hope. I want you to be my anchor. You're going to be the one to whom I draw my security from. And the second thing is that we have hope because we have an assured future. You know, there's one really, really ugly statistic in this world, and that is that death plays a perfect game, right? One out of one dies, all of us. Last time I checked, the death rate is still 100%. Back in 1989, actually the worst airplane accident that ever happened in the history of the United States so far, in which the amount of people that died, but quite a few people survived as well. There was a flight, a DC-10, and I know what a DC-10 is because in the Air Force, they use those to refuel other planes. This plane actually has two engines, one on each wing, and then one right in the middle in the back, like the little fin that sticks out. They have an engine back there and then two engines, so three-engine plane. Big, big plane. Lots of people fit in the DC-10s. And it was coming from Colorado to Chicago, actually. And there was this one guy who later they interview who survived. And he is on the flight and he's reading. And all of a sudden, he hears a loud bang and the whole plane absolutely shakes. His book goes flying out. Pretty scary stuff. You know, I don't know about you, but sometimes I've been in turbulence in which, you know, you really, really feel it. And all of a sudden, it's like, oh, my goodness. And then you feel your palms sweating, you know what I mean? Imagine this loud bang. He was asked this, what was it like on the plane? And this is what he said. He said, some people were so scared, they were just shaking uncontrollably, weeping uncontrollably. Other people tried to stay optimistic, saying, it's going to be okay, even though they had no power to affect the outcome. And then he said this, but by this time I have been a follower of Jesus for several years, So I just simply prayed this prayer. Thank you, Lord, that you are mine and that I am yours. God, I want to live. I really do. But I know if I don't, I will be with you. And you will take care of my family. See, that's hope. That's hope. That's knowing that God is God, that he is sovereign, that he is in control of all things, right? Because I would imagine if I'm in that situation, I'm not thinking of me. I'm thinking of what happens to my family when I'm not there. But because he has experienced Christ and he knows where his hope is, that if God was to take him, God would take care of his family. Later on, actually, the plane crashed and it blew up and several pieces went flying everywhere. They actually found him upside down. He was still on his seat, hanging upside down without a scratch on him. And yet many, many people died. And then he was asked this, was there a feeling on the plane of despair, of hopelessness? You would think if there's a place to feel hopeless, it would be then. Of hopelessness, as you all knew you were about to crash. Again, he answered, I'll tell you the truth, it was very scary. But at the time, I felt like I was full of hope. I really had hope that if I were to die at that moment, I would be in heaven with my Maker forever. And I really had hope that if I died at that moment, that God would care for my family. It's like it says in the Psalms, he added, what can anyone do to you if your hope is in the Lord? See, how we face death says a whole lot about how we face life. When you are assured of a future in eternity with God, then we have a sense of confidence and boldness and courage in this world. It turns our hopelessness into hope. Titus 3 says this, verses 5 and 7. It says, he saved us not because of righteous things that we have done. No. But because of his what? Mercy. Because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing and rebirth and renewal of the Holy Spirit when he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become what? Heirs. Having the what? Hope of eternal life. Now, I left this here on purpose because what's interesting is that even though we go through difficult times, just like Joseph said to his brothers, because his life was also ripped apart and crumbled and thrown down, and when he was down, he was kicked again and again. And yet the beautiful thing is that God picks us up. And he begins to straighten out our lives and our souls, and he begins to heal us. But you know what? He doesn't make the paper, right, straight again, or our lives completely straight again. He allows those scars to remain because those scars become beautiful, beautiful marks of the life that we have lived and the mercy that God has had over us. He heals us, but he allows us to remain broken in some ways so that we can continue to put our reliance and our hope in him. And not only that, he actually calls us to do life with other broken people that are not a perfect sheet of paper, but have been crumbled, have been broken, and God has put them back together. And as he puts us all back together in broken pieces, he creates a beautiful work of art, right? Like a mosaic that represents hope to this very broken world. So the hope that God wants to give a broken world around us, it's not that we have it together and that we're perfect. It's that we have a merciful and amazing God that puts us back together, that heals us, but allows us to maintain with those scars. See, think about this. When Jesus showed himself to his disciples after his resurrection, he still had his scars. Those scars make us who we are. And together we create a mosaic that God uses for us to be hope to this broken, broken world that is in such need of the hope of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly gracious Father, we thank you that you have so much compassion and love and mercy for us, and that you offer us hope every single day. Hope that we can walk with you. Hope that you can heal us. Hope that whatever comes our way, you are bigger than those circumstances. And hope that our past has been forgiven and that our future is secured with you in heaven. We thank you. In Jesus' precious and holy name we pray. Amen.